thankful for this opportunity the Lord has given us to meet together in His name and to worship Him in spirit and truth. I want to look at Psalm 121 for a few moments. Psalm 121. Here the psalmist says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Here he ascribes unto God as being our helper, our keeper, our shade, and our preserver. I want to think in particular about the Lord being our keeper. He says in verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. He is a faithful keeper, a keeper that neither slumbers nor sleeps, one that is the creator of the heavens and the earth. If we think about the Lord being our keeper, reminded of what the Apostle Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, where he says, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. He is a perfect and complete keeper for the family of God. Think about the Lord Jesus Christ being our keeper. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, here we have David as he is gone down to meet his brethren that are facing Goliath and the threats that he's making against the people of God. And David comes and he is in a conversation with Saul, and it is upon the heart of David to go forward and face Goliath. And he recounts before Saul an experience that he had. And he said, thy servant kept his father's sheep. Thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear that went out after him. And he said that I arose and I went after him and I smote him and I delivered the sheep from his hand. And he said, when he arose against me, I took him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Here we have a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ as our keeper. One that is the keeper of the sheep. We see the danger that we were in, that we were in the mouth, as it were, of that great roaring lion, Satan. And he went out after him, that we might be delivered, because he is a faithful keeper of the sheep. The sheep had been committed to his hands. They had been given to him, entrusted to him, and he would keep them and he would deliver them from the mouth of the lion. There was no way whatsoever that the defenseless lamb could deliver himself. David would go after the lion and deliver them. There was no way whatsoever that we could deliver ourselves from the mouth of that great roaring lion. But our keeper, the Lord Jesus Christ, he went out after that roaring lion. He smote him and he delivered us from his mouth. And just as David, the scripture says, that when he arose against me, I took him by the beard and slew him. The Lord Jesus Christ in that battle with Satan, when he delivered us from the mouth of that great roaring lion, this was that he delivered the fatal blow to Satan. We read in Hebrews chapter 2 where the Apostle Paul said that through death that he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. We need not to fear that great roaring lion coming against us and taking us and devouring us, because he has been given that fatal blow. He has been destroyed. He still was that great roaring lion that's walking about seeking whom he may devour, but he's been given that fatal blow. He's been defeated, and he ultimately shall be consigned to the lake of fire. And he is under the power and dominion of our great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he cannot touch one of God's sheep as far as taking us from the security that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we see a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ as our keeper in this way. That he destroyed him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. We see another picture of the Lord Jesus Christ as our keeper in Genesis chapter 43. Here we have the story of Joseph, who is in the land of Egypt, and his brethren are still in the land of Canaan, and they've already had some interaction with Joseph, although he has not revealed himself unto them. But he has told them that they would not be able to see his face again and to buy corn in the land unless they bring their younger brother Benjamin with them. Their father is hesitant to send Benjamin. But Judah stands up and he says, Jacob, he says that Joseph said that we cannot buy in the corn of the land. We can't see his face unless we bring Benjamin with us. Jacob has said, I'm not sending him, lest some evil befall him. But Judah stood up as the elder brother of Benjamin. He stood up and he said, I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him. He says, if I bring him not again before you and set him before your face, I will bear the blame forever. Later, when Judah is in the land of Canaan, when Joseph desires to retain Benjamin, Judah is mindful of this covenant. He's mindful that he had promised to stand as the surety for Benjamin. And he said, you cannot keep Benjamin. He said, I promised my father that I would be the surety for him. And if I bring him not again and set him before my father, that I would bear the blame forever. And he's willing to do whatever it takes to keep this promise. He's willing to be bound himself. Whatever it takes, so that he would not go back empty-handed without Benjamin with him. The Lord Jesus Christ, as the keeper of the sheep, agreed to be our surety. He agreed to do whatever it would take that we would be set before the Father forever, to take personal responsibility for each and every one of the sheep, or he would bear the blame forever. He agreed to do whatever it would take, and that would be for him to be bound himself. Our elder brother came forward in our defense, came forward in the promise of surety, and he took personal responsibility that he would not return unto the Father without the assurance that each and every one that was committed to him would be set before the face of the Father forever. The Father would not have said to His Son as He ascended back into glory, He would not have said, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool, if the Lord Jesus Christ had not met the legal requirements for each and every one that had been committed unto His care and keeping to be presented before the face of the Father, holy and without blame forever. Father was satisfied. He said, "Sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool," because his enemies had been defeated. And the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he must reign. We're not waiting for him to come and set up a kingdom. He's reigning now. When he comes the second time without sin into salvation, he's going to come to deliver up a kingdom. But he reigns even now. And as our surety, there is coming a time when he is going to say to the Father, "Behold, I and the children which thou hast given me." He said in John 6, "Of all thou hast given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day." He is the perfect keeper. John chapter 10. Jesus said that I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So we're bound by the double assurance of the will and the counsel of God, backed up by His ability. Anybody can make a promise, but God makes a promise. Whenever God makes a promise, He backs it up by His power and by His ability. He said, "No man shall pluck them out of my hand." And Jesus said, "No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." That's why Paul could say that our lives are hid with Christ in God. So He's a perfect keeper for the family of God. And He's the perfect keeper in the sense also, as we read in 2 Timothy chapter 1, where Paul said, "I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." He's the keeper of all His sheep. But the only way we can have the assurance and blessing of feeling that He is able to keep that which we commit unto Him from day to day is that comes through knowing Him by walking with Him, experiencing His deliverances, and knowing Him in this way as we forsake the things of this world. As we sail out, count all things but dung, as Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. The only way we can know Him in this way is by counting these things but dung, that is, the things of this world, not desiring to be friends of this world, servants of the flesh, servants of man. And then we walk with Him. Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters," but as we hold on to Him, walk with Him, then we know Him and we can be persuaded that He is able to keep that which we commit unto Him against that day. And then we can look back at the end of our journey and we can testify, we knew not what was going to come, but we've committed these things unto Him over over again. He's proven Himself to be faithful. The Lord is my keeper. And He's a perfect keeper. He doesn't lose that that's committed unto Him. He's a thorough keeper. So may the Lord bless us to acknowledge Him in this way.